views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to get fired up about Power Up Radio with Dr. Pat? Unleashed, unshaken, unstoppable brings mind-blowing news, conversations with top world thought leaders, and Dr. Pat herself, unleashed like never before. Mega talk covering the most leading edge and headlines worthy topics from pop culture to presidents, sex to spirituality, surviving to thriving, Hollywood to Bollywood, and music to miracles, addiction to action and rhetoric to rocking it. It's not about mistakes and all about the guts to not just step out of your comfort zone, but annihilate it. Think authentic and spontaneous. Think fun and forefront. Think no matter what, don't just make a difference, be the difference. Now here's Dr. Pat.
Buddy, welcome, welcome, welcome. And we are going to have a brand new produced intro for the show. We have put it out there about what people, how they want that intro. And at one point, we were going to do a contest, but folks are like, no, here, we know what we want you to say, Pat. So that's coming. The reason that I love the music behind that, because it does represent what the show is about. But more importantly, it kind of represents the evolution of the network, Transformation Talk Radio, when I first started it. So what's fascinating about it is what we're talking about today, empowerment versus the law, but empowerment versus anything else. And we're using the law as a metaphor, but I'm going to use it more exactly. And what that means is, can these two coexist? Can empowerment coexist within the realm of restriction? And today in that conversation, joining me is Megan Edge. For those of you that know Megan, you'll know that she is, in her own way, this master of empowerment and sharing what that's about with women and people all over the world. Whether you know her on her fabulous show, Playing on the Edge with Megan Edge, or you know her in speaking, her webinars, her personal one-on-one classes, her certification, or the Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, all of the publications, all of the things she's done. But more importantly, she understands about confidence and has really crafted a way to embody empowerment and healing at all levels in the Confident Healer. So today is a follow-up to her show we did together this week, where we were talking about empowerment. And during that show, we talked about empowerment and several legal issues. One of them, we were talking about when the law, and in our country, we have a law which has to do with Roe versus Wade and women's rights to choose in their body. But what we find is, because we live in the United States of America, what we find here is that we have individual states and we're a little bit different than where Megan lives. But that doesn't change the question. The question really is, does the law support empowerment and the growth of it? And what happens when the law comes into question, or in the eyes of some people, gets a workaround? Today, we're going to take that on, but we also have to set the record straight, because part of that show the other day had some statistics that were given. Today, we've got some updated statistics. But the question really is, what happens when the word empowerment, the actions in empowerment, and the law come together to support each other, or come together and don't support each other? Is it chaos or is it construction? Megan, great to have you.
Thank you, Pat. And I really want to acknowledge that beautiful introduction. I feel very empowered.
Oh, but you've done all the hard work, I'll tell you that.
I've done all the hard work.
Yeah, boy. I mean, to create what you've created. And, you know, somebody said this to me yesterday, it might have even been this morning. It's that sometimes we just show up. But behind the scenes, there is an army of people that help us get here sometimes. And yes. I'm very grateful for that. But at some level, it does take work and it takes risk and it takes the ability to empower ourselves to stay on track with our calling and our passion. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for me, it's always been a sense of there's something bigger than I am that is pulling me forward to do the work that I do. And in fact, just before I jumped into this call, to your show, I was teaching an online class in my 8 Power Steps to Becoming a Master Manifestor. And this whole week is about empowerment. It's about working with the color red. Actually, it's why I'm wearing my red shirt today. It's about accessing our confidence, about accessing our authenticity, about really stepping into and up to who we are and who we are here to be. It's about taking personal responsibility for our own sense of self and sense of confidence. And I've been thinking a lot about the show that you and I did, that we did on Tuesday. The things that were coming up in that show were really very timely and very poignant for this conversation about what takes us out of our empowerment and what keeps us in our empowerment. And that whole question of law that is outside of our own self that could limit what we are capable of, what rights we have, really becomes, in my mind, the legalization of disempowerment from that conversation that we were having, especially around reproductive rights, which became the example that we were using for that.
Well, I've got another example that I want to bring up because I want to give everybody an equal opportunity to weigh in. Let me give you the reverse situation in the United States and also the reverse situation in Canada. The legalization of marijuana. I've got to give it equal time. In our country, right, unlike Roe versus Wade and reproductive rights, we have a federal law. People will say it's a constitutional law. That is throughout our land. The country, right? But in the case of marijuana, right, which is a drug, in the United States, we don't have a federal law. Mm-hmm. We have a federal law that some people say talks to the issue of marijuana. Illegal. It's illegal. Mm-hmm. But state by state by state by state, we've been kind of going through and we've been changing that. But that's not the case in Canada, is it?
No, in Canada, it is now at the federal level that the use of marijuana is no longer illegal. And that's not only for medical use, but also for pleasure use as well, for leisure use. Where there is some similarities between Canada and the U.S. is that each province, which is equivalent to a state down in the U.S., each province gets to determine how it is that the legal use of marijuana will happen. So, for example, in British Columbia, which is my province, marijuana or cannabis is being treated like alcohol. So you must be 19 and older to use it. You cannot use it out in public, only in designated areas and in the privacy of your own home, unless it is being used for medical reasons, in which case, if you're using it in public for medical reasons, you have to carry with you some evidence of that, like a note from your doctor or something that says that that's why you're using it. So there are still restrictions as to how it's being used and who's using it. But at the federal level, so for the whole country across the board, it is now a legal substance, just the same way that alcohol is.
And let's just be clear that in the United States, it's hard to believe marijuana is illegal under federal law, even though states legalize it. So we have a very interesting dilemma that puts us right smack into the conversation that we started the other day. So with reproductive rights at the federal level, we've got a law.
Yeah.
And it says, yes, reproductive rights, yes, green light. The flip side of that is in the case of marijuana and the legalization of marijuana. And by the way, I just want to be clear. There are varying degrees. Let's just be clear. There's fully legalized. There's medical and discriminalized. That's like an interesting word, everybody. Then there's medical. Then there's and this is it. So you got both the criminal, the medical, then you got the not, it's really a decriminalized. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
So it's not really legal, but it's what? And then you have the fully illegal. So here we've got these categories. That's why what you all did in Canada by just saying, look, okay, we got to just do something here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you live in Washington state, pretty much anywhere, Washington, Oregon, California, right? If you live over there. Okay. If you live over there, you're good to go. But boy, I'm telling you, if you live in Idaho, right next to us, fully illegal, you going to jail. So there's this line that separates, I feel empowered and I don't. And I mean, I'm jumping to a conclusion.
Yeah.
But not really. I mean, I'm not talking about marginally legalized between Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. I'm not like talking about that. I'm talking about black and white.
Yeah. Well, you could even use the example of gay marriage and the legalization of homosexuality, of allowing people to love whomever they would like to love and having any union between those two people accepted and acknowledged by the state. And as I understand it in the U.S., are there still some states in which it is actually illegal for two men or two women to marry?
Oh, my gosh.
Unless they're heterosexual?
Yeah, that we're going to talk about that too. We have now broken it down to so many levels that we had a case in the United States where it did finally go to a Supreme Court decision where a baker could literally refuse to bake a cake for a married couple because of religion. So you see, this is a complex issue.
Yeah.
Everything we're talking about today is complex. So I just want to set this, I want to set everybody straight today for a minute. Don't really want to say setting everybody straight and talk about gay marriage in the same sentence. So let me take that back. I'm going to walk that back. What I'm trying to say is let's look at the record today. These are very complex. And Megan and I both know how complex they are at every level, personal levels, in other words, we know how complex this is. And the other day, I think the complexity of that, I know for me personally, I didn't do a great job, and I want to do that right out of the gate. What she and I are about to talk about, these are complex issues, but we want to set the record right on its edge, for example. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start out where we left off. We're going to start out talking about reproductive rights, and we're going to talk data for a minute and otherwise. But I think we're talking about empowerment and the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, if you ask numbers of women and men how they are feeling about reproductive rights, you will get different sets of information. And is anybody right now feeling empowered about this? And I have to tell you, I am not sure they are. Even if you don't live in one of the states, Megan, in the United States, where state laws have been enacted, and maybe you live in the state of Washington where you're not worried about it, the overflow is being affected. What do you think about that?
About the effect that this is
having? The effect, the empowerment effect. Even if you're sitting here like in Washington state, mm-hmm. we have some tremendous laws here. I mean, all you got to do is listen to Jay Inslee on TV now. People don't even understand how much is going on here positively, right? With the economy and everything, right?
Yeah.
But if you're living in Alabama or Missouri, you are not feeling very good. But there's a sense, though, of threat. Even if you're mm-hmm. in Washington state,
yeah.
looking at what's happening in other places. So people may be feeling disempowered, even sitting over here very happy and comfortable.
I think so. And I know that for myself, since our conversation on Tuesday, but also since first hearing about this revoking of fundamental basic human rights and women's reproductive rights a few weeks ago when this first hit our news, I was gobsmacked. I would literally jaw on the ground. What? WTF, are you kidding me? How is this even happening? And that for me, it was a feeling of anger that showed up first. And it was my daughter who told me this. And it was a discussion they had in school. I said to her, what do you think about this? How do you feel about this? She says, Mom, I am so scared for those women and what's going to happen to them. She says, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand it. And so there's that thought of, if it can happen there, can it happen here? Can it happen to anyone? And it can, in a heartbeat. We see it all over the world, and we get incensed for the other people's, what they're going to be going through, but we don't always look at it for ourselves because that's a scary place to go. It is something that I've been looking at for myself and for my daughters over the last few weeks, and really thinking about, well, how would I respond to that if that happened here? If all of a sudden Canadian law says we're shutting down all the hospitals and abortion clinics, and if you get pregnant under whatever circumstances, you're having a baby. I think there'd be this deafening silence at first. You could hear a pin drop as everyone just shook their head in dismay. And then there'd be an enormous uproar. There would be huge response to that, to saying, no, you can't do that. Give us that back. That's our right. Is that happening in the U.S.? Or is this sense of disempowerment or even lassitude so great that there isn't a reaction or a backlash? What's your sense of it, Pat?
Well, I'll tell you what my sense of it is. I think my sense of it is what I love about the country I live in. And I want to be very clear about this, folks. And I want to thank the people that did email me about the show we did together. And even my very, very graphic description of what is happening in Missouri. And it was, it's actually pretty funny. Actually, now when I think about it, I don't think it was very funny the other day, but one of our listeners sent me an email that her husband heard the show, and he went to her and he said, is that what you go through when you have an exam? I mean, honestly, that's not what we're talking about today. But mm-hmm. What we are talking about is there is a reality to this. Yeah. It is a sobering.
Yeah.
This is sobering. That's the word, Megan, to answer your question.
Yeah.
This is very sobering. But what is happening is we're having a conversation. You know what? Elizabeth Warren, and look, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, these are the people on the Democrat side that are really looking at this. We already know where our president stands on this. But these other folks are coming out. Joe Biden changed his mind. And so people saying, oh, he flipped. Hallelujah. Dude, thank you for changing your mind. There's nothing wrong with that. I've changed my mind.
Changing your mind is incredibly empowering.
But we are not in agreement. We are, and I say as a country, we have multiple opinions. Mm-hmm. And that's partly what we're going to talk about today. So there were a couple of numbers, Megan, that were thrown out the other day. And I think it's important for us and the integrity of the show to present the latest information,
okay.
I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important. Now, these are polls, P-O-L-L-S. These are opinions. This is when independent agencies go out and they ask people, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And what the results say, this is a complex issue. But across the board, and I will say this safely today, there wasn't a single poll that was taken that talked to the point of illegalization criminal. There wasn't a majority check the box that said, if you do this, this is illegal, you should go to jail. And I think that's very different than the conversation we had the other day. And I think this is for us, the empowerment part of this is to talk about this, talk about the complex nature, and talk about the questions, especially some of the questions you asked the other day. Let's have you ask that question again, because whether it's marijuana, whether it's reproductive rights, whether it in this month, in a 50th anniversary of Stonewall, I remember that. I remember 1969 like it was yesterday. We are talking about different levels of right and wrong in people's minds. But it's not that cut and dry, is it?
Well, no, of course it's not. Each individual has their own complexity. They have their own values, their own morals, their own belief system that they operate in. There were a number of questions that I posed in response to the call that we received and then the conversation that we had. And one of them was, what would you have to lose of your what you believe to be your inalienable rights in order to feel disempowered? What would have to be taken away from you that you assume is yours in order for you to feel disempowered? That was one of the questions. Another question that I asked was around fear. Because I think if we're asking questions about what's right or wrong, we're saying, is it right or wrong for women to have an abortion? Is it right or wrong for a person to marry the same sex? Or whatever the question is. But that's actually not the question we need to be asking. Beneath that question, there's a fear. I would love to know what people are so afraid of that would happen if everyone had equal rights. Just like, let's make it simple. Because we can make it really complicated, but really it's quite simple. What are you afraid of? What is going to happen if women have complete autonomy over their reproductive systems and their bodies? What is the worst thing that's going to happen?
Well,
what are we afraid of?
Question. I'm going to give you the answer. Everything. We're afraid of everything if we're equal. We're afraid of things, Megan, that we probably haven't even created yet about it. But let's go back to, let me give you the answer to that question for women's rights, if we could, back in the day. Okay, let me go back to when the Equal Rights Amendment first popped up and we were trying to get it done in the 60s and 70s, right? Do you know what the answer was? Why this thing did not fly back then? And you could Google it. In the United States, this is why. I don't know where you are in Canada. I hope you share about this. But do you know why it didn't pass then in the 60s and 70, early 70s? It had to do, we were drafting people for the Vietnam War, right? Can anybody remember that? Everybody's like, what? What's the Vietnam War? Vietnam War.
We're not that old.
One of the most controversial wars in the history, just about anywhere, right?
Isn't it a police action?
Iraq was a little bit, but this war, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think the issue was back then?
I can tell you what I think the issue always is, and it has to do with control.
But here's the thing, and this is why it didn't pass and was voted down by mostly women. The argument was made that if that law passed, men are being drafted by the thousands. We will now, I mean, this is like what was said. I wish I tried to find the clip to give to Carter for today. I remember hearing it like on a Senate floor or something like that, right? And back in the day, you can only hear things through radio or print. We would now simultaneously implement an act to open up draft for women. The minute everybody heard that, they were like, okay, probably not a good idea. But isn't that a fear? That is playing on the edge of fear, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. And again, I don't think it's getting to the core of the matter. Because when we're talking about equal rights, we're not talking about sameness. We're talking about equal opportunity, equal choice. The fact that the U.S. had a draft, that's a whole other subject. We never had the draft in Canada. That's why so many people came up from the States to Canada to avoid the draft. Yeah. Here it's voluntary. If you go fight for your country, that's your choice.
Yeah, or you could say you had bone spurs.
Yeah, that's right. Or eye problems, or you could cut off your toe or whatever. Not to be disrespectful to the military at all and all the amazing men and women who are out there. Now,
I come from a family of people that served. I actually tried to serve.
Wow.
Yeah. I tried to serve when I was 17. I signed up. I went down, signed up for the Air Force.
Yeah.
My parents wouldn't sign. I remember, here I was homeless. All my relatives served in the military. Yeah. And I thought I could fly. I went down, I took the test. I passed the test, outstanding. Air Force, on my way. And one small thing, I was 17. I had to get my parents to sign. Yeah. My dad said, I'd rather send you to jail.
Interesting.
Yeah. But to your point, again, fear, right?
Yeah.
Not fear.
Yeah, fear.
It's fear.
So why can we not have choice? That's one of my other questions and I was thinking about this last night. I was going through in my head about, you know, what is it fundamentally that has me up on a soapbox and ranting about all of this? And it's what it ultimately comes down to is choice. Mm. When you take away someone's ability to make a choice for themselves about something that matters to them, you have disempowered them. And one of the things that our caller asked as part of his question was, what about the number that he had was 47%, I think was his statistic. 47% of these women who were polled said that they didn't believe in abortion, mm-hmm. and they thought that abortion should be illegal. And his point was, if we're saying that women should have the choice, and that's an empowerment piece, if women don't want to have it, are they being disempowered? And that was a good question. And where it came up for me was, again, back to choice. So if you're a woman and you find yourself in a situation in which you are pregnant and you don't have a choice in the matter, then you are in complete disempowerment. If, as a woman who's pregnant, under whatever circumstances, you choose not to have an abortion, that's your choice. That's it. End of sentence. You made a choice. That's yours. It's neither right nor wrong. I'm not going to tell that woman she should have an abortion. I'm going to applaud her for making her choice. And equally, if the woman chooses to have an abortion, I'm going to do the same thing. That's how choice becomes an equalizer, right? It's less about right and wrong, about who's right and who's wrong, as it is about what choice do I have? And I want to be really clear and transparent. I've never had to make that choice. That has not been part of my story. I did have a massive miscarriage in between my two children. And thank goodness the medical establishment was there. Thank goodness people were able to look after me and take care of me. And I didn't die because of it. But what I was thinking about that this morning is, if I'm in one of these states where it is now illegal for me to have to, or it's now illegal for me to have an abortion, and I have a miscarriage, I'm under suspicion. And I have to prove that medically I had nothing to do with that miscarriage. That was my understanding of one of the laws that was being passed. So on top of miscarrying, then I have to prove that I didn't do this to myself in some way. It was shocking to me. Anyway, I mean, that's a bit of a rabbit hole, but it's to say that if I had to make that choice, or if one of my daughters has to make that choice, I want to have the ability to make that choice for myself and have it be a safe choice for me.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to share some statistics from two polls. And these are very recent, so I want to just get us up to date. I don't want to really bring up a poll from last year because this is a new year and the best polling we can get is from June 7th. So we're going to present some information. The first poll we're going to talk to, and I think Carter may even have a graphic to put up, but we're going to talk about the poll that was made by PBS. So we're going to do that one. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back, and we want to give you information or data, as we like to call it, from reputable sources. And the numbers are going to be very close. So let's take a short break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk more about the different types of questions that were asked, because herein lies the complexity. But we are humans. We are complex. We live in a, a system that's complex. We live in a democracy here and in Canada. And so I don't know if you call yourself democracy, but you know what I'm trying to say. You're free. When we come back, we're going to walk through it. We're going to talk through it and we're going to power up about it. We'll be right back.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Are you new to playing with the law of attraction or a seasoned pro looking for an easy and organized way to monitor your co-creation endeavors as you draw them from the immaterial planes into your physical reality? Then join me over at goldenotter.us for bi-monthly new and full moon rituals where we plant seeds of intention, then harvest the fruits of our desires as part of a dynamic community in the members-only Lunar Manifestations Forum. I'm Autumn Seibel, host of Golden Otter Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream, and I can't wait to meet you.
TheAngelLady.net. 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 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790. Sue Storm, TheAngelLady.net. TheAngelLady.net.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobear.com. That's drkathyobear.com.
We're almost back. I think we're making Carter a little bit crazy. I think we're also making our friends at CRN a little bit crazy because I promise Mike Horn and everybody over at CRN, I love you guys. Just love you. Thank you so much for picking up the show. I can't even tell you. And I know, Mike, don't email me. I know you're going to email me because you want me to move all of the shows and all the network over there. And, you know, I'd love to do that. Let's negotiate a good rate for that, though. So here we are. And I promise that we will go to a regular clock, but not today. We have to talk about information and data. Can we start with that? Because it's hard to feel empowered if you're not informed, right? Yeah. Right? I mean, that's one part of it, Megan. What do you think about that or not? And also, can you give out your website and tell people how to find out more about you?
Oh, sure. Yes. You can find me at meganedge.ca. That's my website. All my information is on there. You can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube under Megan Edge Healing. You can email me at any time, meganedge.ca. I would love to hear from you. I'm easy to find. In answer to your question, Pat, thank you. In answer to your question about information, absolutely. Information is power. That's why governing bodies who don't want their people empowered will make sure that they don't have all the information that they need to make informed decisions and have opinions for themselves. Information is currency, right?
Right.
So when you have the information, you can make an informed decision for yourself. If you are not given the information, if the information is withheld from you, then you cannot make an informed decision. And it's something that came up over the last couple of days since our show. An article showed up through the Malala Foundation. She's the woman who's advocating for girls' education around the world. That girls' schools in Afghanistan are being firebombed at night and destroyed in an attempt to prevent girls from getting an education, from getting information. Because if they don't have information, they can't thrive.
Yep.
All they can do is hear what they're being told by the males in their community and make their decisions based on that. What few decisions they can make.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah. By the way, in Iran, and Dr. Darvish is absolutely advocate about this, in Iran, for decades and decades now, women of the Baha'i faith were being the same restricted from education. So there we go. Education, knowledge, and information. What? Who was it said knowledge is power? Did I make that up?
No, knowledge is power. knowledge is power. And I would say knowledge is also empowerment.
It is. It is. Okay. We're going to talk about one poll because we need to give you information. So PBS did a poll, but they didn't do the poll. It was actually the Marist poll. And the results were posted on June 7th. And so I don't know if Carter's going to be able to put a graphic up or not, but I do want to say this. Let's talk about what they ask. The first question let's look at is, do you support or oppose new abortion laws that could, and they broke it down. So we have a law in the United States already that doesn't have any restriction. So here in the United States, right at the moment at the federal level, we have Roe v. Wade. That's that law. And so this was the question. So let's break it down, Megan. Mm-hmm. So here's the way that folks were given an opportunity to answer. They were given several categories, and I will tell you what the categories are, and then we'll go back. One is require women to view ultrasounds before abortions, allow abortion at any time during term due to rape or incest, allow abortion to protect the life or health of the mother, allow abortions, but only up until heartbeat is detected. Make it a crime for doctors who perform abortions. So let's go back over that. So, and provide some information. So when asked, let's go back to the first one. Require women to view ultrasounds before abortion. 52% support it, 43% oppose it, and 6% are unsure. Let's be clear. Ultrasound is not a pelvic exam. And I just need to clarify that. It's not a pelvic exam. And this is highly controversial. People would say, well, Megan, what's a big deal? Ultrasound. But what does an ultrasound do, Megan?
Well, it takes an image of what's inside of you. And you use x-ray to do that.
Yeah.
X-ray. I've had plenty of them, I should know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm looking at this question and I'm perplexed by this. I mean, on the one hand, I think it's really empowering to know what's going on inside our bodies. I wish that anatomy was something that was taught at the high school level, because there's so many people walking around out there who actually don't know where their liver is, where their pancreas is, what their kidneys do. And this is part of our packaging. And yet we don't know that. So to see that your uterus has created a placenta and that there's a little bundle of cells in there as an interesting thing seems to make sense to me. But if the reason that you're doing it is so that you can show the woman that there's something inside that looks a bit like a fish at that point, depending on when you have the ultrasound, or may even look like a little person, to guilt her or manipulate her into changing her mind, that doesn't sit as well with me. I'm curious about why it would be considered a requirement.
Well, it's exactly like you said. It's to bring in some people's minds a new reality or a new perspective. Mm-hmm. That's what it was about, right? But there are more questions that they ask, but they're highlighting these.
Yeah.
So then here's the next one. Allow abortion at any time during term due to rape or incest. Now, this was the debate on the show the other day, mm-hmm. and I didn't have this latest poll. 63% support.
Right.
Now, this was a controversy we had the other day. 63 said, yes, allow abortion. 33% oppose it. And that 33% is pretty much going to hold for a lot of things. And 4% were unsure. The next one is allow abortion to protect the life or health of the mother. This is the shock. This is what you and I were trying to say the other day,
mm-hmm.
because you can't throw out a number that say 57% or 60% are opposed abortion. This was the question. 86% support it. See, so this is not cut and dry, black and white.
Yeah.
And 11%, only 11, right? Mm-hmm. So remember where we started, 43 with the ultrasound, 33. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Now 11, 3% are unsure. There's always going to be plus or minus. Now let's go to the next one. Allow abortions, but only up until heartbeat is detected.
Mm-hmm. Look at that number. So 59% oppose.
Yep.
And only 33% support.
Yep.
And 7%
complex, telling you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the reason that this is a little bit confusing, but it's almost contradictory of the other number, mm-hmm. is because they use the term heartbeat in the question.
Yeah.
And that's really, for anybody that hears the word heartbeat, I mean, how can you not at least have an emotional reaction to that?
Right. Well, and it's when we hear the heartbeat that we recognize that there is life. So it's
that's
gone
right.
from a bundle of cells, a
right.
fetus, to an actual heartbeat, which indicates to us life. And that
that's right.
a whole lot of response in people.
That's right. Now, here's the next one. Shocking. And this is this goes counter to what Missouri is doing and some of the other states here. Mm-hmm. Make it a crime for doctors who perform abortions. Back in the day, before Roe v. Wade, it was a crime. People were getting abortions in the alleyways. I know this.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Women that were raped were getting abortions in the alleyways. They were dying. It was horrible. So here we go. Make it a crime for doctors who perform abortions. Did that percentage surprise you? 24% said yes.
Yeah, that's a big number, actually.
It is a big number.
That's a quarter of the people who were asked. Here in Canada, we had Henry Morgenthaler. You remember that name? He was an advocate for women's reproductive rights. I saw him speak at my university when I was doing my women's studies program. It was illegal in Canada, and then it became legal through his efforts and then the efforts of many, many other people, of course. But he was really a figurehead for that movement to decriminalize it for the women and also for the surgeons, so that the surgeon was not accused of murder and sent to jail for safely performing a medical procedure that was required or requested by the woman. Yeah.
Wow.
But 71% opposed, so okay, great.
Well, but 24%. But the numbers, I think this is a very modest, I think what we're having here, because there's another poll that came out that said 80% responded. Okay, so what's happening is every day there are more and more people that are swinging over to we have to protect reproductive rights. Even if they don't necessarily swing to full abortion. And let me tell you why this is complex. Because every state that comes out with a law like Alabama or Missouri, right? Every is they're bringing more people in to protest. And think about it. See, this is what the empowerment conversation is all about. Yeah. See, if we're not talking about it, then we're just going on with our day every day, day in. But now that issues are being talked about in the world we live in today, we didn't live in this world in the 60s, Megan. Mm-hmm. We didn't know within an hour what a state law in Alabama was doing. We probably didn't know in a year. Mm-hmm. But 80% of the respondents in another survey, in the Reuters survey, said they support abortion in cases of rape or incest. So it's 80 versus, that's how much it's grown in 6 days, right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
And something I think is really important to be clear on, a statistic is not a fact.
No. This is opinion.
It's a pulse of the people who were questioned and easily manipulated to demonstrate whatever it is the person who's asking the questions is hoping that the answers are going to be. I think what happens is that we look at these polls and people get super excited and they make them fact. That stops the conversation. When we recognize this as being opinion, then we can continue the conversation about what does this mean? Why is this significant that this is how people are feeling in this moment with what they know, with that information piece that we were talking about?
Yeah. Let's give everybody a really bold statistic right now, because this right here we're about to talk about in the short time we have left, this is the thing where we are saying there is no majority poll taken, Republican or Democrat or registered or non-registered, not a single poll, this is going to be bold, shows a majority of people wanting to overturn Roe v. Wade. Let me give you the information. I know it's bold. Here we are. Poll question. Consider Roe v. Wade. Do you think the Supreme Court should decide to, let's break it down, folks, overturn? That means overturn our constitutional law. Overturn. I was very surprised. So they break this down by political party. Registered voters, 14% said yes. Republican voters, I thought for sure, Republican voters, because that's all we hear, right? That's what we hear. We hear like in our Republican Party, everybody thinks. And by the way, this is not a poll that was just given to women. So Republicans, 31%. Democrats, 4%. That is, by the way, a shock to Democrats. Who are these 4%? But here's the information. So we're given the facts. So we have a law now that says in no case do we think you should overturn Roe v. Wade. But let's go on to the other. The next one is keep but add more restrictions. Registered voters, 25%. Republicans, 30%, Democrats 19%. I don't even understand this number, because it was 31% that said, okay, right, overturn, but only 30% say keep but add restrictions. So this is getting really interesting. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Keep but reduce some restrictions. 14% registered, 5% Republican, 18%. Right. Going down. Expand allowing abortions under any circumstance. 21% said yes, registered 11%, 31%. So here's what we're saying here, right? And then the next one, I find that one of the most interesting of all. I really find this really interesting. Keep it the way it is. 17% registered voters say yes, 13% Republicans say keep it the way it is. And Democrats, 21% said keep it the way it is. So when you add those numbers together, right, all across the board, all of them, the overturn, the other one, what we're really looking at here is what do people want? And I think the consensus is, you know, that there's some modification that need to be made. Overturning the law is not it. What do you make of this information from your perspective?
I, to be honest, I find it a distraction.
Yes. We had to do it though, because we had to get the record, you know.
Oh, no, I understand. No, I understand that. I understand. What I mean to say is that this whole idea of taking these polls and putting these numbers out there distracts from what's actually going on, what the actual questions need to be around this. It distracts from the question, why is this even a conversation still? Why is this still something that people are arguing about when it seems to me to be a no-brainer? Of course, women should have reproductive rights over themselves and over their own bodies, no matter what the statistics say.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't mean to be dismissing the statistical science behind it, but the fact of the matter is, public opinion doesn't make law. At least it shouldn't. Law should be based on what is for the best for the community in question and for the people, the individuals in the community, right? Community law versus individual laws, in order for everyone to get along. Right? Laws are codes of conduct, basically. It's what we've decided is right and wrong. The fact that there's a conversation going on about whether it is morally or politically or religiously or medically right for a woman to be able to make that choice, I think that the debate is distracting from the actual questions that should be being asked, which is, why wouldn't women have that as an inalienable right for well-being?
Well, I have to tell you that, look, there had to be a catalyst to bring up the debate again. We don't even have a catalyst to bring up the debate about equal right for women anymore. I mean, we're not even having that debate yet. I think Elizabeth Warren was the only one that came out and said, when I get into office, that's what I'm going to do. I'm like waiting for these others to be like, you people. Okay, do you even get it? But that's Elizabeth Warren. You know, Elizabeth Warren is somebody that I didn't pay much attention to until every interview after interview, she's got a policy, right? And by the way, she is picking up steam here. But poll after poll, because the numbers do tell a story. They provide a foundation for the conversation. Poll after poll is now showing the same national reaction to Alabama's near total ban on abortion. Most American, across the board, it doesn't matter what you're saying. I don't even understand that poll that was referenced the other day in a show. Most Americans don't support it. They don't. They just don't. That's it. And so that article came out pretty much before the whole Missouri thing. And if they don't support Alabama, they are not going to support. They're not going to support much more, right?
Yeah.
Look, we tried to do our best to take a complex issue. But the number used the other day was 67%. And here is what the 67% is. A news poll found 67% of people support upholding Roe. That's the 67%.
Right.
That's a lot. Despite everything that's going on, Republican, Democrat, Independent, 67%, that's the number, says you must uphold that law. But if it wasn't for Alabama and some of the other states, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Things would just be sliding along. But guess what happened? These were radical changes in these states that they thought were going to happen with ease.
Nice way to reference it back. You're right. I think that they were hoping that no one was going to notice. Oh. It almost feels like, what can we get away with? What can we push? How far can we push before we get push back? And I am grateful that they have gone to such an extreme that we cannot help but have the conversation, even though it's a conversation that's been had many times before, yeah, over decades and decades and decades. Clearly, it is still something that needs to be discussed. But what I'm hoping for is that, and especially based on these statistics, which makes me feel hopeful, what I'm hoping is that we are evolving. We're in some kind of an evolutionary leap in terms of our capacity to be empathetic to other people and what their needs are around this. As if 67% of your population, both men and women, can put themselves in the shoes of a woman who has to make this decision, then there has been an evolutionary leap of empathy.
Yeah. Caveat to this, thank you for summing that up beautifully. I am not going to say anything about that. But here's the thing that I think folks should know. We're going to keep talking about things like this, Megan.
Good.
We're going to keep talking about it.
This is good. This is what is needed, and this is what is necessary.
We're going to keep talking about it.
Yeah.
Megan, give out your website, please. And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on, Pat. My website is meganedge.ca, and there's all kinds of beautiful information on there about myself and the work that I do and the people that I help through the work that I do. As Pat said at the very beginning of the show, empowerment is the cornerstone of the work that I do, and the healing work that I help people with is for them to step into who they are and to know that they deserve to do that.
And I got to tell you, that's why, as an independent media organization, the Transformation Network and Epic Media, as an independent network, we are going to grow. We are not going to go away. We are literally going to do a crowdfunding campaign to not only take back talk radio, but to ensure shows like this don't get censored, mm-hmm, and that we hear everybody's opinion. Megan Edge, I'm Dr. Pat, Power Up Radio. Thank you, Carter. Thank you, CRN. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, everybody.
You've been listening to Power Up Radio with Dr. Pat, Unleashed, Unshaken, Unstoppable. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Dr. Pat brings mind-blowing news, conversations with top world thought leaders, and Dr. Pat herself, unleashed like never heard before. It's not about mistakes and all about the guts to not just step out of your comfort zone, but annihilate it. Think authentic and spontaneous. Think fun and forefront. Think no matter what, don't just make a difference, be the difference. Visit www.powerupdrpat.com or powerupTalkRadio.com.